Well, it's nearly a full moon. It is a perfect late spring night. You could say it's summer. It feels like summer for us. I got a new recorder that is amazing, and it's a perfect night to take a little walk and talk. And so we're going to do that. And this podcast is entitled Curfew Walk and Talk, because we're in kind of a lockdown curfew still here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I don't live in the city anymore. I live in one of the first ring suburbs, so we're about 5 or 6 miles from where all the stuff went down. So you guys know that one of the things I've been doing is advertising attorneys on the BobDavisPodcasts.com and on the podcast. And I've been doing that to create kind of a resource for subscribers and listeners to find good attorneys, whether it's for real estate or personal injury or business law and business legal services. And this month I'm advertising Virtus Law, which is a friend of mine, Nathan Nelson. And I've known Nathan for something like 3 years now. And I'm going to tell you, one of the cool things about the podcast is I had Nathan and my friend Todd Rooker on right at the beginning of this crisis. For the podcast, it's podcast 917, which is like 15 podcasts ago. Surviving, Thriving in Financial Armageddon, Bob Davis Podcast 917. And first I had Nathan on, and then I had Todd Rooker on, and we talked about strategies for business and individuals going into an economic crisis. And this is before we really knew that we were going to have an economic crisis. In fact, this was before they passed the relief package, I believe. And it was amazing to go back and listen to that and listen to the advice that Nathan gave small business owners and individuals regarding how to handle the upcoming, what we referred to as a potential financial Armageddon. So that kind of speaks for itself in terms of what they do at Virtus Law. First of all, Virtus Law has offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, even an office in Dallas, Texas. So, you know, they've been around and they're solid. And when it comes to business, Virtus Law, of course, as I have often said, offers full services. The thing here is strategic thinking. And we all in business, we all think that we're great and we think we're one step ahead, and maybe we are, and maybe we even have representation, and we think that they are thinking one or two steps ahead, and that's good. But the truth is, to have someone to be on top of things today, that might just not be enough. There's all kinds of things going on with business, aside from the issues with the PPP loans or the EIDL loans or the relief packages that are being supposedly, ginned up by Congress. There are all kinds of things like management service agreements, succession for family-owned businesses. That's really important right now. Estate planning, partnerships, and of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning. You got to have a strategic planner. And this is some of the stuff those guys talked about in podcast 917. So Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law is the lawyer one. One of these days, I'm going to tell you Nathan's full story. And it's amazing because he is not a guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He is a hardworking, great attorney. So the reality is most lawyers don't give strategic advice. Sure, they will do whatever you want if you're in business, but if you're the owner of a growing business, you got to have that strategic help. And that is really something that I've seen from Nathan. And you'll hear it if you listen to that podcast. Again, Virtus Law, full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson. Let me get you this number at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000. Or you can click on the banner at the top of the page, at the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at Virtus Law Online. They have an excellent client interface where you can explain your needs and get a good idea of the legal services they provide. Nathan Nelson at Virtus Law, V-I-R-T-U-S, Virtus Law. And of course, big shout out to the guys at Depot Star American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. If you're manufacturing overseas, you already know supply chains are messed up. People are bringing back manufacturing to the U.S. If you're thinking about doing that, or if you want to manufacture in good old Minnesota, Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T, Depot Star. Check them out online at depotstar.com or click on the Depot Star banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. This suburb is locked down as well with a curfew. And you're not supposed to go anywhere or walk around. Well, I'm walking around because I have to do a walk and talk. And I thought, this is a great time to just talk about how surreal this is. I have so many things that I think about on a depending on what time it is and the given day, just watching what is going on. It is just unbelievable. And I'm not going to do a recitation of news stories what I think of what's going on or any of that stuff, because I'm going to give you some relief from that, because I'm going to tell you, I'm standing in my favorite place, which I've stood in as long as I've lived out here, since moving out from uptown, on these beautiful summer nights or on a winter night with a full moon. We're almost at a full moon. And it is just priceless. This is the kind of night that would have made the heart of a 13-year-old boy beat faster, because this is a perfect night to just be out and running around and living life and not thinking about any of this heavy stuff. And for my listeners and subscribers and friends who have kids, especially young kids, this is just unbelievable. I went over to a friend's house not too long ago, earlier. I guess it was at the beginning of May. It might have been at the end of April. Great friends. I've known them for a long time. They've known me for a long time. We went out. They have a beautiful house out in the western suburbs, and they have a big fire pit and lots of acreage, and they have kids in seventh and eighth grade. And aside from the stuff that the parents are dealing with in terms of their business, you know, the kids are kind of running loose and doing their thing, and it's late at night, and you know, they're under supervision. But when you live out in a place like that, you just don't worry as much about your kids the way that you do when you live in the city, especially when stuff like this is going down. And this was before any of the most recent angst with rioting and things being burned down and people being angry and all of this stuff. This was during the height of the sort of the peak of the coronavirus thing, when everything was shut down and people are basically losing their businesses. And here's these kids, you know, eighth, seventh and eighth grade, kind of running free, being kids. You know, and I remember I asked him, you know, what do you think of this whole thing of, you know, there's no school? And they said, well, it's weird. That's basically what their reaction was. And my friends who have kids, little kids, really struggle to explain what is going on. And I defy any adult right now to be able to explain to anybody what this is and what's going on. It's bizarre. The whole thing is just bizarre. Curfews and riots and, you know, this day-to-day stuff with the news. And it came on so suddenly. I don't know if you know, the rules of the walk and talk are really no plan and no prep. And I just go. And I go for roughly 30 minutes. Because sometimes you just got to air things out. And I'm struggling here because I had some things that I wanted to talk about that related to news. But I just don't want to do that because I don't want to spoil this amazing, perfect night that we have going out here. And trying to think positive. It's a Wednesday night. For me, this is kind of my peak day. This is my day. I get up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, even if I haven't slept, and do my business networking thing. And that goes until 9 or 10. Sometimes I have additional meetings, and by noon I'm finished. And so that's kind of my sales day. And, you know, then I go and I sleep for 4 or 5 hours. So Then I get up and I reschedule. So Wednesday for me is 2 days. It's just weird. And I know I had to do a podcast. And I'm excited because I have this new digital recorder. And the one I had for, geez, I don't know how long I had that thing. Seems like 10 years, maybe even longer. And that's kind of one of the first tools that I started with. And now I've got this new digital recorder, and I'm super excited about it because it's, you know, I've been talking about it on the podcast. It's just much higher quality, many different options. It's got detachable mic ports and things I can do with it. And I've ordered what they call a shotgun mic with this, with a windsock on it. So it's a very, it's a kind of a, if you've seen these microphones that have, they look like they have hair. Those are these really effective windsocks that literally keep out all the wind. The mics that I have on this thing right now are really sensitive. And so if it was windy out here, even with this windscreen that I cobbled together, so my friend Steve will be really happy because what I did was I finally got so frustrated. I ordered a accessory pack for this thing from Guitar Center. It took like 3 days to get it. And then it came. And of course, it's the wrong size. And all of the technical stuff I can use, tripods and AC plugs and all that stuff I can use, but the windscreen is not big enough to go around the microphones that this thing comes with. So I'm waiting for the shotgun. So here's what's cool about the shotgun. Once I get the shotgun, I will be able to, I'll be able to sit here and point that thing across the street and record a conversation almost as though I was standing there from 50 yards away, at least. So it will really be useful because it's really directional and it kind of cuts out all the ancillary noise. And you know, I'm super excited about this new tool and the options and things I can do with it. And that's what I want to think about, and that's what I want to talk about. I don't want to sit here and go on and on about, you know, what's going on in the news. Because by the time you hear this podcast, you know, we'll be heading into the weekend, and it's just, it's, you know, I'm out recording summer sounds and things like that, and it's just, it ruins it. So I'm not going to do that to you. But the rules of the Walk and Talk is just, you know, I don't have to go through it. If you've been listening to the Walk and Talk podcast, you know that it's just off the top of your head. I was going to talk about polling, not going to do that. I'll do another podcast about that. I've been meaning to talk about that for a while. I'm just holding that one. And I didn't really have anything else I wanted to talk about because lately what I have learned is there is nothing... There is nothing anyone is going to add to any of this that's going to have any value anywhere at any time ever. It's just people are flailing around trying to find. It's like we have come to the end of history, not the end of the world. Some people think it's the end of the world. I don't think it's the end of the world, but the end of history, meaning we're like at the end of this political epic, this social, political, economic epic, as I have said in previous podcasts, and you look at it and you think, oh, you know, there you really can't see over the mountain. We're heading up the mountain. It's that feeling of heading up the mountain. And, you know, whether you drive or walk, you know, you're really pushing because you really got to fight to get up that mountain. You get up there. And when you get to the top, you're like, now we got to go down, you know, and you don't know what's on the other side because you're not up there yet. I still feel like we're on the incline in terms of what's going to happen. So sorry if I jump around, you know. But one of the things I did was I sort of fashioned this windscreen for this thing so that at least I can go outside and do a walk and talk. Because if I didn't do that, even though there's no wind out here at all tonight, it would still be, these mics are so sensitive, you would hear it. So my friend Steve will be pleased to know that I literally made a windscreen. I took one of the old ones, cut it, split it, and then so it covers everything up. And then I took gaffer's tape and I kind of built a little holder with it with gaffer's tape. And that's attached to the top of the mic cell. And so I've got this weird Rube Goldberg contraption, but it works, right? And that's why we have gaffer's tape, God's greatest invention for anyone doing anything with sound or with cables or anything like that. Anyway, yeah, it's just, listen to this beautiful evening. Now we're starting to hear some bugs. You know, walk over here to the woods a little bit. The grass is cold, a little cool and wet. And what's great about this tool is that, you know, you can kind of feel, if you have headphones on, you can kind of feel that envelopment of the green and the dark and the traffic in the distance. You know, that traffic is miles from here and this thing picks it up. It's great. But yeah, beautiful night, beautiful, beautiful moonlight. Just wispy clouds in the sky and people on lockdown, people in their homes on some kind of a curfew. And I would tell you stories about summers past, but I already did that. So I can't do that in this podcast walking around. Yeah, it's what's weird about all of it. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of reaching, but what's weird about all of it is that, you really struggle to make sense of something that is, you know, a moving target and yet at the same time completely surreal, you know. And I don't think it matters what end of the political spectrum you hail from, if there is such a thing anymore. It's just this, somebody said today, God, I hope there's nothing else. We've had all this situation with coronavirus and then all of the arguing with that on social media and back and forth about this, that, and the other thing. And then suddenly this whole thing with the unrest regarding George Floyd and what happened in Minneapolis. And then that's nationwide and now worldwide. And someone I know from yoga posted on Facebook the other day. She said, this is what happens when you lock people up and they can't touch each other and they can't shake hands and they can't hug. Because, you know, when we go to yoga, there's a lot of hugging and touching. You know, I mean, you know, just people hanging around talking about yoga. Hey, how you doing? And everybody hugs. And that's one of the things that's really great about a huge positive vibe at yoga studios. And I know exactly what she's talking about when she said, you know, you can't just let people be cooped up like that and be in an environment where they can't, you know, we're prevented from having a physical experience. I went to the store today. One of them is closed. I went to Trader Joe's, which is in my neighborhood. That's closed until tomorrow. So I had to go to the one way out in the rich suburbs with with all the rich people with their $78,000 SUVs in there. Actually, $178,000 SUVs. And, you know, you wait in line and, you know, it's just this whole experience that we'll wait in line at the Home Depot, or we'll wait in line at the Costco, or we'll wait in line at the Trader Joe's. Some people wear masks, some people don't wear masks. You know, we're doing what we got to do. And you got to be prepared. This is what drives me crazy. You got to be prepared to be in a situation where you're going to have to wait. So you can't just go run to the store. So I'm going to run to the store, get the stuff I need, I'll be in and out of there in 15 or 20 minutes, have all my food, put it away, and then I'll go to yoga. Well, you can't do that anymore because a simple trip to the store takes an hour because you have to wait in line for 30 minutes. And I'm not bitching. I mean, I'm going to wait in line. It's no big deal. This is what I have to do. So this afternoon, I got up from my nap and I said, okay, fine, I'm going to walk. I'm going to go out to go to the Trader Joe's. Oh, it's closed. It's not open yet. Okay, so now I got to go to the one way out in the western suburbs, go out there, and I have to stand in line for 30 minutes. And it's fine, but it's just this really weird foreign experience. It's like, where do we live? What did I go to sleep and wake up in some weird science fiction novel? It's just, and I'm laughing because what else are you going to do? I'm laughing nervously because it's really not funny, but it is. It just is what it is. And it's a bizarre experience. And you stand there and you watch the kid bring the carts in, and they have to spray them down and wipe them down. And they've got this sort of makeshift station there where the guy sprays the carts and wipes them down and then pushes them out. And, you know, that's going on. And yet, you know, you don't have to wait in line for the liquor store, apparently. I don't know how that works. But so at the liquor store at the Trader Joe's, you know, people seem to be able to go right in there. So that was weird. But it's just a very disheartening and disconcerting experience that we're all living through. So in the second half of this podcast, I'm going to try to give you a little bit more content than just kind of, you know, I'm getting used to the recorder. And just so you know, just in talking, this thing's like almost 2 feet from my face. You know, if I brought it up here, it would be way too close. So I have it out here, so would be, this is what it would be like if we were all walking together and I'd be talking, and this is the way it would sound. So I'm still getting used to that, and I'm still thinking about what I want to talk about, and there's all that going. So in the second half of this podcast, I'll throw down a little bit. Well, we're all working from home, and we are all struggling with things like printers. Cartridge World is the company you want to remember, because they can get you up to 30% off of the retail cost of these print cartridges from the big box retailers, and they're guaranteed to perform as good as new. I have a bunch of them, and they work great. So remember, Cartridge World, if you hate your printer, you can call them at 763-420-6632 or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Let's talk turning your deck into a four-season porch. So Randy Graybaugh, who is one of the contractors that I work with at Whitetail Builders, Inc., was talking the other day about the thing that people are asking for now is basically building these four-season porches, which give you tons of room, and the rooms are great. And Randy is a great guy to do it, because Randy is an amazing craftsman, really great, and he can do amazing things. And the people that work with Randy and Whitetail Builders, Inc. just rave about what they can do. And the reality is, if you hire Whitetail, they're going to be with you every step of the way. And Randy loves to talk to people about building their dreams and what can be done. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. They're focused on the details, and again, they're going to be with you every step of the way. Click on the Whitetail Builders, Inc. banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, or visit them online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. You can also check them out on Facebook. Just do a little search for Whitetail Builders and you'll find them. So as I said, and I've said in a couple of podcasts, we're definitely at a change of an epoch. We are at the change of an end of an era, and I've sensed this, and I've talked about this for a long time. Whether it was 2016, I've talked about it, and all up through the last 3 or 4 years, I've talked about how it just feels and felt like we were on the step of a major change in the way we do things. And I did a whole podcast about it just recently. And so I revisit that thinking a lot in preparing and trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about in these podcasts. But it's also something that I just think about all the time. And the thing that's interesting and yet surreal about this whole process is, I think we all know that in one way or another. I don't think you have to be from a part of this. You don't have to hail from a part of a political spectrum to feel that we're on the cusp of this huge change. And I think the really hard part is, if you said, we're going to go through this change, and let's just pick anything crazy, we're going to move to another planet, and we've got all the stuff ready, and we're going to do this big change, and everybody that wants to go, you have to sign up, and if you're accepted, then you're going to get this letter in the mail, and you drive to someplace in New Mexico, and you don't have to bring anything, because we got everything. You don't have to bring any, sell all your crap, and come, and then you're going to get on these starships, and they're going to put you in suspended animation, and you're going to fly to another planet that's six times bigger than Earth. It's bigger than, it's like three times bigger than Jupiter. It's like tropical, and it has one continent and some islands, and that's it. And it's just this massive, uninhabited, Earth-like planet, except it's warmer and even better. And only a few million people are going to go at first. So you get in and you say, okay, you know, I'm getting in the car, and we're going to drive out to New Mexico, and we're going to get on this thing, and we're going to go into suspended animation, and we're going to have this great adventure. And we know that step A, B, C, and D are going to happen, right? And so that would be easy compared to this. I mean, if somebody said, we've discovered a new planet and we're going to send people to this new planet, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's pretty intense. Okay, that's a big thing. And people can go and you just sign up, and we're going to cut it off at 100 million, but, you know, it's going to take a number of years, so there's plenty of time to sign up. I mean, I'd sign up right away. I mean, I would be the first guy that signed up for sure, you know, just to see this new planet. It would be worth it, right? And I think a lot of other people would be. And so this change, this process of change would be interesting, because we would know, picking my coffee up off this metal power cabinet, we would know, okay, you got to do this, this, and this, and then you can do, you know where you're going and what's going to happen. But we don't have that luxury. We don't know what's going to happen. We're just sitting here and things are happening, and people keep trying to connect the dots. I mean, that's what our media does. They do it poorly, and they shouldn't do it. I've talked about that 100 times, but that's what they do. They try to tell you what's going to happen next, and they don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. And that's what's weird about this, is there's no, almost every other era in U.S. history, there was something going on, and you knew at some point it would be over with, or they did. Now, the only other times I can think of where it might not have seemed like that is at the depths of the Civil War, and probably in the depths of the Depression leading into World War II, where, you know, people could see the storm clouds gathering. And as I've often talked about, my mom, who was born in 1922, said that from her observation, so, you know, she was a teenager, and she said, you know, we all knew what something was coming, because we could see it developing. We could see what was going on with fascism, and we knew that there were economic problems and everything else. We didn't know where we were headed. So that's an example of an era where people just kind of had to live through it. And we are, for years, and for most people who are alive today, they never had to think about that. We all knew what was going to happen next, right? Because we had media that would tell us what was going to happen next. There was a sense of security in knowing that this was going to happen, and then this was going to happen, and this is going to happen. And we entered this period of change roughly around 9/11, 2001. That's when things started to spin off the dance floor, where you really couldn't predict what was going to happen next. And it has progressively headed in that direction. And now we seem to be in the depths of this experience where you just really have to live for today, because you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And everybody is living for today. We're not fully there yet. I think people still think it's going to return to normal, and it might, and that's fine, or whatever normal was or is. And I don't begrudge you that if that's what you think. Good luck. I don't think that. I don't think there's going to be a new normal. I don't think there's going to be a new stable environment. I think we're into this period of extensive change, and I don't know when it's going to end or where it's going to go. And so that's the substantive content, and the thing to leave people with is just, you know, I'm like everyone, and I'm willing to say, okay, you know, for me, I don't have little kids, and I have a pretty flexible business that can, you know, kind of bend and move and adapt a little more quickly, because I don't have employees, and I don't have buildings, and I don't have those kinds of things, and I don't have too many dependents. I'm pretty much by myself If you have a family, if you have kids, kids that want to go to college, kids that are graduating from high school, if you have a business that has buildings and people and things and employees and things of that nature, it's pretty hard to live for the moment right now. But I kind of feel like that's where we're kind of headed, where we almost have to live for today. And of course, that's all we ever had, you know, 24 hours at a time. You know, we only had one day at a time ever. But when you're confronted with the reality of having to pivot every day, it's a little exhausting and a little weird. People have been saying to me, a lot of people have been saying to me recently, God, I'm tired all the time. I don't understand why I'm so tired. Well, first of all, you got a giant full moon up there, and we're going to have an eclipse. And when we have eclipses, I do believe that magnetic forces are exerted and people struggle a little bit. So there's that. But I do think it's the intensity of the time that is just, you go through these waves of just being exhausted. Now, this is on the heels of the last 2 weeks with riots. And, you know, it's exhausting. The whole thing is exhausting to have to. I've stopped looking at social media beyond checking my own feed and then getting out of it. And others I know who have stopped, just completely stopped. And I will do another podcast about that. But that's even more depressing than what's going on. To talk about what is going on with Facebook or Twitter or, you know, these algorithms or all this stuff. I didn't even want to talk about it. People are, you know, people I know are really struggling. And it brings up all kinds of issues, you know, issues regarding faith, issues regarding political orientation, issues about what you thought was going to happen isn't happening, you know, issues with not being able to explain it to your kids. Like, how do you explain it to a kid? You know, and I'm not going to try to answer that question right now, but how you explain it to a kid is really a big thing. So we're living through a very tough time, and I don't want to miss this fantastic, what appears to be developing a fantastic summer, especially here in the upper Midwest. I don't want to miss any of this. You know, I want to experience every minute of this and experience it angst-free. And I am not without my own angst. You know, I am not without my own, you know, struggles in terms of business, trying to figure out where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. And almost everyone is. And today, with the networking group, you know, you can just feel the burden. And it's a burden. Everybody seems to carry the burden in a little bit different way. Just worry or feeling bad or just devastated. I feel really bad for my community. I feel really bad for the community that down Lake Street, because I got to tell you, and I'm not going to get into it in too much depth, I'm not optimistic that we're going to have the resources to rebuild all of it. And I think there's a lot of businesses that were down there and all up through Lake Street that were hanging on by the skin of their teeth. And they're not going to come back. They're not going to reopen. Those people are going to have to go do something else. And this is like the straw that broke the camel's back on Lake Street for development in the short term. And if you get down close by the light rail, which is what they call Midtown, which it was never called Midtown before that I remember, those businesses, I don't know how they're gonna come back. And I know a lot of people that are going down there to clean up, and good for you. And I know a lot of people that are trying to do something to help. But this is what's going on in municipalities all over the country. And I know there are people that want to blame it on this or blame it on that. That's not the intention of this podcast. This is just a moment for us to kind of feel what's going on. And normally, I suppose if I was one of these commentator types, I would say, and this is what we've got to do, and this is how we're going to get through this, and this is what's going to happen. But I think that stuff just falls on deaf ears. I don't think anybody knows how we're going to get through it. I think we're going to have to figure it out. I think we're going to have to sort of make our way to work together to try to get through it. But I wouldn't presume to tell anybody right now how we're going to get through this thing. So let's just take a moment and just say, okay, you know, let's put things on pause for a second, which is what I'm trying to do with this Walk and Talk podcast, and say, okay, you know, we're going to put things on pause for a second and just enjoy this this fantastic full moon, and there will be a fantastic eclipse, I think Monday in podcast time, June 4th or 5th or 6th or something like that. And let's just enjoy a couple of days of beautiful summer. So I better go back to my little house now and stay inside and not make too much noise out here, because the last time I did this, the police did come. Yeah, before I go inside here, I should mention that big shout out to my friends at 36 Lynn Refueling Station at Lynn Lake, in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. And this is in the general vicinity of all the stuff. And so these guys are really down in it. They're independently owned and operated. They're community focused. They do great events. They also have great stuff in the store. So really great local products and great coffee. Remember 36 and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis and need gas or a cup. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, which I'm sure are going to come back towards the end of the summer, check them out online at 36 Lynn. That's 36lyn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Very quickly, big article on them in the Tribune that's going to come out if it hasn't already. That's the first thing. The second thing, great Instagram feed. And here's the real selling point for 36 Lynn. They're independent, so they can pick how much of a profit they want to make, and they're always a better fuel bargain. 36 and Lynn at 36 and Lindale in South Minneapolis. Yeah, so a little disjointed, thinking about a lot of things, playing with my new toy, this recorder, and still wanting to give everybody a break and just breathe a little bit. And I appreciate people listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes and subscribing at iTunes, tuned in, Stitcher.com. So I want to say one real quick thing. This is really cool. So I was going to do a newsletter a while back, like 2.5 years ago, and I did a whole thing about it, and I asked people, invited people to sign up for the newsletter, and I never got around to doing it, and it just turned into a huge thing. And so one of the things I've been working on is just, instead of looking at social media, just get to the business of whatever it is that you have to do today. And I said, I'm going to get that newsletter going. So I finally figured out what I was going to do, and then I got on to MailChimp, and I was like, you have 1,175 people signed up and you're at your limit. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do the paid MailChimp thing and we'll open that up again. And so I just sent out the first email. So if you got an email newsletter from me, it is for me. It's not spam, unless you think it's spam. And check it out and see what you think. And there will be more coming. So look for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. And then in a couple of weeks, you'll start signing up for it again on the website at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for liking and sharing on social media. I do not want comments. Don't need to go into that. So Facebook and Twitter and also LinkedIn. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Sean, appreciate the $10. It's every cent counts. And Mobile Podcast Command will be plying the roadways again soon. Back roads only. All right. Thanks for listening to podcast. What is this? Podcast 931, I think. I actually have to check that to make sure. Yeah, podcast 931. Curfew walk and talk. Maybe I should have obeyed the curfew. If you're fond of sand dunes and salt. Yeah.